that because we didn't know where we were going. The other, I mean, in other words...
I didn't care where you were going. We had our own car. We could have followed you. It didn't matter. You could have stopped off in a gas station. That was not the point.
So that that one...
I mean, there's a lack of cohesion somehow that I feel out.
Did you feel out prior to this? Because this happened after the workshop
yes,
was...
I felt out prior to this as well, yes. And I've tried to analyze it and tried to go over it and how did I feel out and in what way. And I seem to come to the conclusion that I felt that because of my own inequities. My own incapacities to function in this type of group, plus pressure from the group itself.
You know, the thing sort of, I mean, crossed my mind that I said, I don't, do you remember when we were talking about the tools, I know I was thinking to myself several times, and like the last session, that different people would be concentrated on more at one time than another, simply because, as I said last time, you could really see how just in everybody doing that exercise, that you began to see the areas of difficulty were very different with each person. So what I have been thinking was that I was spending more time on you, not because you had any more difficulties, but because yours happened to have come up then. So I was thinking and saying to myself that it would even out, and I still think so, but I was certainly aware of that. And it's, I guess one thing I'm thinking in terms of sensitizing, that what I was feeling was more guilt at the amount of time and trying to, and concentrating on you and the way it was, I think I can understand the legitimacy of it. You're seeing it as a concentration on that you had more difficulties. Now,
no, I'm not.
At our Friday night discussion, we all decided that we're all starting from the same place, but we don't know. You know, we've got some answers from the beginning. Everyone.
What, the last Friday?
And we're talking about the writing up there.
Yeah, I understand that very well.
So really none of us are.
And I also understand that a lot of people were not at that last Friday session.
And then Mommy was there.
And Ruth was not there.
Mm-hmm. And Mahira.
And Mahira was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mahira was never there.
What's interesting, I think, this feeling of in and out, because I think it's been brought up, it's too much of a, maybe a part of what the group should be. I don't think the group should be an in-out situation. I think we should be here in very selfish ways in terms of what are you going to get and make the most of it and use it. Up to the point, prior to Sunday, I felt the group was nothing other than another kind of, you know, going in the direction of another kind of consciousness thing, which I was directly opposed to because I don't, myself, do not want consciousness raising. I've had it since I was five. Sunday was the turnabout for me.
That's beautiful. She's had consciousness raising since she was five.
Oh.
But it was a turnabout in that the kinds of things that we were dealing with were basically, or seemingly abstract, but not at all abstract if you brought it back to the level at which you were dealing normally with, I mean, if you deal with people on the outside, we each have a very individual way of dealing with them. And I, of course, have my difficulties, and hopefully this group is going to teach me where my problem lies so that when I win, I can win better than I'm winning now. So when we did get together Sunday, we got through part of the earlier shit. Okay, we got that out of the way, sadly. But when we got down to the nitty-gritty of theory construction, it was a very it was the way in which I thought the workshop was going to go from the beginning, and
right.
it just never had a chance to get started.
Well, the first
it got
one,
started.
Some of the groundwork was done before. I mean, the first one, the feeling itself.
Yeah,
but
it got lost after
that.
And exercising and discussed them. It was completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, maybe I would feel different if I had been at that one,
mm-hmm.
but
that was, it was the
yeah.
whole key.
I think
it's
the way
it's
been.
Was it worth it to find the time to
have another time? I haven't liked it, and I find that Jean's grab, I have felt that to be true.
Well, just a minute. If people are friends, because they go into a workshop, is that friendship supposed to stop?
No.
When we're at the workshop, we're all on equal ground. It has nothing to do with friendship.
Ellen, I don't know.
This is the sort of atmosphere of adulation that I don't like, and that I don't want to be a part of.
Adulation of whom? By
of
whom?
Of T. Grace.
Yeah.
By
whom? I agree. I want to see something about that too. I would feel very badly if Lily Miracle left this workshop. I think that both of you were criticized tonight about the phone call. And I think that we've got to speak up, right, but we all did, right. And we all have to learn to criticize each other. And it's hard to criticize somebody else because you're afraid you're going to hurt their feelings, you know.
That they're going to not
all,
like you.
Yeah, but we've got to criticize each other, and we have to receive criticism equally as well. I, too, have sensed a feeling of T. Grace adulation, and I don't like it. And I don't adore you, and I don't worship you. I respect you, and I respect everybody else in this group. But I've heard people say quotes like T. Grace says, or something along those lines. And Ellen said on the phone when you're talking to Andy, you said T. Grace is the one who's moving, and I didn't like that. I told you that. I told you, and you even said
no.
Something.
I didn't. No, but I'm saying
right.
Yeah, I think there is. I don't want to be adulated.
I know
that
you
do. My head gets
right.
shot off first.
Right, and I
but
sincerely believe that you don't want to be adulated. You don't want to be the star that you have been made into. And I really sincerely believe that you want all of us to share the shit. You know?
Yeah, I sure do.
And I don't like it
when
people say, you know, like T. Grace, you know, like holding T. Grace up here, and everybody else down here, I don't like that, and I don't want to see that in the group.
But
either.
The motives behind it, I think, because I have talked to people too. This is where there is a lot, and where you stop the personal, and you've got to have a lot
right.
of positive stuff. That's why, you know, really, I think that, say, in the case of Ruth and Ellen, that especially since I first knew Ruth, and it's the same thing has happened with like Phil Kennedy, right? That partly it is bad. It's meant to sort of, I think, we've never gone into it too much, but to be supportive for all that out there, you know, because like always in the movement, and I used to think it was because of the tools, but it's not just that. I've been hated within the movement. And always. And like, just like the feminist movement now, this thing about the church, their whole thing is, you shouldn't have, what did you go and do that for? Where'd you go? You know that they're powerful. So that I think that there has been that. I think that one thing that, the two things that have come out to me very clearly, remember when I started, I said, there's something I want to answer. There's only an answer. How come the movement's in such direction? I want to know why women seem to be cowards all the time. I got to know because it's scary. I think one is, and I think when we were talking about that day about the tools, is that everyone is alone. Everyone is alone. And that you must take responsibility alone. You die alone. It's a question of how well. And that's one of the problems in terms of even having couples or love relationships, in the sense that this is the dependency issue, I think, is one of the key philosophical issues. So that I think that there's a connection between that and your feeling a lack of feeling outside. In other words, you're assuming there's something inside that isn't going on in terms of interdependency. And I think that you were leaned on at that particular time, because you, on that particular issue, were having more trouble than other people. The other night, it was really interesting how each person had very different, very distinct difficulties in different areas. And I didn't even realize, you know, I'm learning too from this. And in talking about each one, I think Flo Kennedy and I had this discussion, you know, before this, and she was, I said something and she said, oh, you're just trying to get away from writing your book, you know that that's just going to be a mess, and why are you always evading just doing your own stuff, and so on and so on. I think that something has to be done. This is the best thing I know of to try right now. And I just have to keep trying. And you do the very best you can, and you're prepared to be judged for it. Certainly, as I said, I have always been attacked as much, if not more, within the movement. Always. Sometimes people say, don't you worry about becoming a moderate? I'd love it. So that feeling I had to say that last meeting, I really didn't like to do, because I already have a lot of enemies, makes enemies. Trying to get people to develop the skills. You were hurting. I could see it. But this is all part of it. I mean, I struggle with myself. I know how I used to write papers, because I'm scared. I was scared shitless down there, you know, at Catholic University. And I think that ultimately, like, each person, I mean, we try and communicate as best we can, and then I don't know what to do past that. I think that's what you're saying. Now, I don't know if these are all the reasons. I think the Washington thing was one of, well, I think it's the heaviest thing politically I've seen in the world. I wanted to just crawl under the covers, like, for indefinitely.
But the one valid thing, though, that I find interesting is that I deal very little with people in the movement, per se, and I use that to encompass all the movements that deal with this issue. It's the only dealing I have is primarily here with the workshop. Outside of the workshop and DOB, I deal in a very straight kind of world. And the reaction I get from what has happened from these people is very, very positive. They're not in the movement, but they're saying, God damn,
right,
go ahead, you know.
I've gotten tremendous abuse, right? I've gotten such supportive things from people who don't know what, or saying, oh, great, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. That,
excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Those of you who weren't at the meeting last night and who haven't possibly heard about the press conference demonstration Monday morning at 11:30 in front of St. Pat's. DOB is working in coalition with
a number of other homophile groups mounting a press conference demonstration in support of T. Grace's statement at Catholic University.
I will not be there.
T. Grace will not be there. We have talked to, I should say, I have talked to women in the feminist movement. Some women say they're coming. Robin Morgan's going to be there. A few others.
No radical feminists are, but the. It's interesting how for 3 years there's been this pattern of fear of the church. Mm. Except for, like, say, people in the feminists who were afraid to hit at the church on abortion because many of them had Catholic backgrounds. The feminist movement that's hurting the worst from this is the most frightened.
I'd like to ask a question. Mm-hmm. How many women here plan to go to St. Pat's? From 11:30 to 2, the demonstration will go on.
Which day?
Monday.
Can come down here.
So let's see the hands again so we get a count here.
We have down 4 times.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you can't make it. 8.
I probably will be there. I just want to say a few things. Well, just for that, we were at the Gay Community Center and we saw a sign there and said, in defense of T. Grace Atkinson. We made it very clear.
We made it very clear that it was in support of the Atkinson statement.
I spoke to her.
But I was saying to everybody, first place,
made it very clear.
I didn't call. I got a lot of mail and all when I came back, but I said not. That's one reason I wasn't going to go. I couldn't. I was just going. I was just sitting there for days, and I just thought, well, we'll see what happens. And I fought this issue for a long time in women's movement, and I just thought, well, that's just going to happen. And I was, well, around the. Did you hear that Kate Miller thing?
Yes.
Well. I called her, the church,
yes,
that whole thing. Well, I called her. I hadn't spoken to her because, you know, I was so fed up with her moderate positions on things. And I hadn't had anything to say to her for a long time. And I saw that, and I knew Kate knew how she'd feel, right? So I called her. I said, if I can do anything, I just want to tell you. And so, I thought, well, when I heard that there was, you know, I said, I certainly think that it's a good time to come out on feminism and lesbianism and so on. So that when this was gotten together, although I kind of wondered why I wasn't invited, right, because she was going there, especially knowing how we'd fought on that before, then I realized that, and I was all state. I think it's bad around people, one, although I didn't really think so in that case, the only reason in the end, I was really angry about it because I thought that the statement was a complete sellout. And significant, the political. I think that the church, I would not have a part. I think just in terms of the statement that the church is a major political enemy of women, there's been silence. And that is saying to the church, one, they have to do that to make an example. They want to make an example of somebody who dares call, and that includes anybody who's around, too, right? So that if people are silent and say, well, nobody sees anything, no, this doesn't seem to be the case, then it's bad for all women. I think the reason, as I said, I'm going to be in town, I'm not going to go, is I think it should be people who, whatever their positions are on the church, in other words, if they think it's severe, that the church understands, that people do understand that they're a problem. But, like we've talked about this before, and I don't need extra trouble like that, you know? So it's really, well, it's like, I was so discouraged because in spite of that whole speech was so pedantically political. Like also, people always say they're surprised, but it's always the stuff is like. People still don't want to face that what I was saying about the authority of the church and where it comes from and how they leech off the poor and how it works. They don't want to deal with it still
as a political thing. So that's important. Now, why they got this, because this was a big thing that I felt worried about, I don't know. Now, because I, how would they, why would they interpret it that way? Do you think it'd be malice? Or just...
I would like to say that three people in other organizations whom I called, and I called, T. Grace was out of town. She didn't know about this until she got back. The homophile community in New York wants to go on record as supporting her statement that the church political complex oppresses women. Well, of course.
Oh, you don't? You won't be able to find a woman's movement, though.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I was very careful, very, very careful to say support of the Atkinson statement. Now, people ask, has T. Grace given okay on this? I said, this has nothing to do with T. Grace Atkinson, per se. This is the homophile's statement of support of her statement. Nothing more. And I talked to Lucy at Gay Community Center. I was most careful.
See, there's a lot of this ambivalence. I think I mentioned it in California. When I first went out, there were a lot of people waiting, like 50 women waiting, to ask me how dare I come there as an individual to talk about women's movement. The next day, the women were screaming the loudest. One of my friends, I said, don't you see there's some tension between those two positions? And I said, what? And I said, you know, how can you say the one thing in this, and what's more, I never would do that with anybody anyway. But it's kind of weird. So, I mean, this thing about adulation has something to do, I mean, in terms of movement, leaders, and all these things, has something to do with responsibility. Not wanting it, and yet also hating themselves because they don't do it. I mean, it's something, just like the church. I was trying to think, now, how can these, I think it's some feminist, you know, I was trying to, you know, you're kind of in a bad position, because now a statement's been made. And somebody calls you and you say, never heard of the church, right? I mean, it's kind of going to be, like, obvious. And I was wondering why the main anger was, what did you have to go down there and say that for? And hating me. I could see that. And I thought, now why? You know, why are they mad at me? And then I realized it had something to do, that male thing, that male-female, and the authority. It had something to do with the authority relationship. And I love relationships with authority. Because the women that these are women I've known for a long time. And the fear and backing off authority, like pigs, that kind of thing. That it's also cherished. That while the church is powerful, there's a certain advantage in maintaining that psychological stance in relationship to power. That is almost like in love with, you know? Adulation, that kind of thing. Because I'm trying to figure out, now how can, why is it the homophile groups are coming out? The black movement's been out on the churches, and it's women who are hurting the worst and who say they're too powerful. And yet they love women to death, right? Yeah, to death. I mean, what, like, you think you're going nuts?
Okay, I can argue the sign. It was told to me by someone else, and I just stopped there for a moment. I should have went to the sign. I should have sort of seen it myself. Okay, I agree. I just want to say one thing. In order for this group to be to function as a living cadre, and maybe we should go into the definition of what a cadre is. I think maybe this would be good for us too, to understand what is a cadre. In order for us to function as a living cadre,
There is an I and a you which form a we. I learned what a cadre, or by working with, we had a particular cadre,
we work together. If this particular group would form into a cadre, because we're not a cadre yet, and if it were feasible, if it would be possible to eat, sleep, work with one another, and maybe sleep one another, I don't know.
Do you think this kind of thing is strictly?
Well, no, not really, it's different. But it's impossible because we lead different lives. But I think one of the necessary things is to work with one another, at least to give it a chance and to grow from there on. As for in-groups and out-groups, you see, the thing is, in the dynamics of a group, there are people who think there are in-groups and there are people who think there are out-groups. But the thing is that there is an intra and inter-relationship between people. And, like, they don't realize that the people who are in the group are just as scared as the people who are out of the group, you know? And the people who are out of the group are for an excuse for not taking responsibility and being in the in-group, hold on to the idea that there is an elite. And we all have the ability to be in the elite, if that is so, you know? Through this action, we learn that we made a hell of a lot of mistakes, and we know we made a lot of mistakes. And